now, broadcasting on StarWorldWideNetworks.com. It's time for Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Let's tap into your own authentic genius and live the life you desire. Join Dr. Rademacher for an enlightened conversation about our brain intelligence, our body intelligence, and our energy intelligence. And now, here's your host, Dr. Bart Rademacher.
I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, and this is Prescription for Your Transformation, Real People, Real Conversations, and Real Success. And typically, you know, I have the great privilege to be talking to these very insightful human beings to help, you know, uncover, you know, all the limitations, you know, that we have, you know, presented to us, the ones that we create perhaps in one way or another, or the ones that are actually presented to us and our response is the one that we create. But today's about planning and really getting dialed in into the specific outcomes that you desire. You know, whether it's at the beginning of the week, the beginning of the month, beginning of the quarter, or the beginning of the year, regardless, you know, it is incumbent on us to have clarity as far as where we're going with our life. You know, it's not enough to say, look, you know, let's just do what we've been doing all along in the hopes that, you know, something will come out of it, you know, something that we really want to come out of it. You know, that just doesn't work. You know, there's a truism that says, you know, that if you don't have a plan, you know, life will have a plan for you. And when we look at the statistics of business failures over time, it's quite interesting because most businesses will actually fail within 5 years. The number is about 80%. And then of those remaining 20%, 50% of those typically fail within the next 5 years. And the prevalent reason for that is because they don't have a plan. And so once again, if you don't have a plan for your life, life will have a plan for you. And it may not be, and it most likely will not be, the kind of plan that you will want to have for you. It's not the destiny. It's not the future that you're really going to want to have. And so we're going to dial this in four different parts. And so the first part is really understanding, okay, what is my outcome? You know, what is it that I actually really do want? And in fact, this is a question that we really should be asking ourselves all the time, you know, all throughout the day, you know, whatever interactions we have with another person or whatever it is that we're doing, you know, when we're doing, we really should have a very clear outcome. Interestingly enough, I think most people forget about that. I mean, let's face it, you know, when you get a phone call from, let's say, one of your children, you know, what is your outcome for that call? Because fulfillment really comes about when we are satisfying our deepest needs. And unless we're very clear about what those needs are, you know, what those wants are, then they may not be satisfied, or more likely they won't be satisfied. And so whenever we have any kind of relationship with anything, we must have that clarity, okay, that clarity, if you will, as to, okay, what is it that I want to get out of this? And this is not a selfish thing. This is really about self-preservation. This is about you allowing yourself to get fully aligned with your soul purpose in life. But unless, again, that you're clear about that, it's not going to happen. And so taking that example, whenever I speak to my kids, I'm very clear what that outcome is. An outcome might be, you know, to have a fully engaged conversation with them that is enlightening and inspiring to both of us, and to rediscover, you know, what's going on in their lives and to see how I can actually serve them. And then obviously to develop a loving, you know, respectful connection with them. And so these are just some of the obvious and simple elements that we actually take for granted. But once we actively and proactively engage in that to begin with, then it's actually more than likely going to happen. And so when we're looking at our life and whatever time frame that we're looking at it, whether it's a year, whether it's 5 years or 10 years, or perhaps it's just the next day, having outcomes is really important. So you write them down. You write down what the outcome is. But that's not enough, right? Because we can have all these ideas and things that we want and then recognize that as much as we wanted these ideas or outcomes, they didn't materialize. So why not? It's because we didn't make them widely important. You know, it's what they call the WIGs, the widely important goals. I prefer outcomes, by the way, because outcome is more specific. It's more definite. You know, it's sort of like a goal can kind of move, right? An outcome is, yeah, absolutely clear. This is what it is, and this is the time frame. And it's a time frame that's also relevant. Because it's a matter of understanding that, okay, I've got this outcome and this is the time frame that it's going to happen in. But before we decide on that time frame, we have to decide, why is this widely important? And so what is it that we get out of it? You know, what is the purpose of this outcome? You know, what is our benefit? You know, who do we help? Who do we benefit? What do we get to experience? Who do we get to be? What do we get to have? What's in their life? What's not in their life? And understanding these elements will juice you up if you're fully dialed into the reason for that outcome. Because without that energy, more than likely, you know, something else will take its place. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we live in a whirlwind of life, if you will. At least I know that I do. And if I'm just reacting to that whirlwind consistently and not paying attention to what's widely important, I'm going to be taken off track. And so it's important to understand and accept and acknowledge and decide and commit to what's widely important about your outcome. What do you get to have? And what's in your life? What's not in your life? Who do you get to be? You know, what do you get to experience? All these different elements are critically important. And then when you have a lot of outcomes, like I do, I believe I live myself in a multidimensional world. That's my alternative to ADD or ADHD, because I don't believe in those kinds of labels anyhow. But it's how my mind works. My mind works in all sorts of different areas. But unless, you know, I'm clear about my outcomes and my purpose, I'm not going to be able to effectively fulfill them. And so what does that then mean? Well, if you have too many things that are interesting to you, then you might get too distracted or too easily distracted from what's really the most important thing. And so that's where we talk about the number one thing. When you look at these widely successful individuals, these exponential entrepreneurs, you know, Stephen Covey, for one of them, you know, they all talk about what's the number one thing. What's the number one important thing? And of course, then we can help ourselves with understanding what the priorities are. And so we get dialed in into the order of importance. The timeline is important. And then, of course, understanding, you know, how much effort needs to go into that. And that's going to be more in the next session that we're going to talk about. You see, as human beings, we are what's called teleological beings. You see, we're goal-oriented beings. You know, we are most happy when we grow, when we expand, when we get to achieve. You know, some people consider that as being materialistic. Well, the truth is that, you know, material things are important to an extent, but it's not the material itself. It's actually the meaning behind all of that. And so one of the easiest ways for us to accept that we are achieving what it is that we want to achieve in life is acknowledging what it is that we have achieved. That gives us a meaning of then fulfillment. When it becomes more of, well, if I have this, that means I'm more worthy, well, that might end up being somewhat superficial. And I prefer to refer to it as differently. It's really not aligned with our deepest soul purpose. I think all of us have this deepest need for divine happiness. You see, we're all what's called, you know, as I said, teleological beings. We're all goal-oriented. And our behavior is motivated by positive intent, is to get that certain outcome. It's because it's all wrapped in our beliefs and our values and what we see as important in life. So it begins and it ends with understanding and accepting and achieving the the outcomes that you desire. And so we talked first about outcomes. And that's the direction that we go to. That's where we're headed. And there's a meaning behind that specific outcome. You know, there's a purpose behind that outcome that serves us. You see, as I mentioned, you know, we are teleological beings. We are beings that want to grow, want to contribute beyond ourselves. That's what makes us the happiest. We are all beings that we want divine happiness. That is ultimately our purpose in life, is to have divine happiness. You know, we have different missions. We have different vehicles to get there. But ultimately, it's about that divine happiness. But all that comes with achieving specific outcomes in that journey to become our best version of ourselves. Because ultimately, that's what it is all about, isn't it? It's the game of life. Understanding what game are we actually playing and how well are we playing that game. And so the idea of becoming that best version of ourselves is actually an idea that is evading most people. And quite frankly, it was evading me for years. It took me, once I graduated from medical school and then residency, you know, after 17 years of training, you know, several years afterwards, recognizing that, wow, I'm not as happy as I thought I should be right now. Gosh, you know what? I'm at the pinnacle of a career in medicine. I was really good at what I was doing. I mean, I was considered one of the best, you know, in the area that I was living in, and I wasn't happy. And so it dawned upon me that I wasn't recognizing or understood or was aware that there was so much more inside of me. It's that human potential. In fact, there's 10 times more of us inside of us, perhaps even more than that, than we, you know, recognize in this very, very moment. You know, some people say, look, our potential is unlimited. We will never reach our full potential because at some point in life, we do pass. And that's when our potential ends. And so in this life, in this physical form that we possess in this very, very moment and throughout our lifetime, must then be governed with clarity as to what those outcomes are. And as I mentioned, widely important goals. You know, what's the big why to how these outcomes? Then the next part simply is this, is who do we need to be to achieve those outcomes? And I think, you know, as human beings, we actually forget that we're not human doings. We seem to focus more on that. All of these activities, we do this, we do that, we do this, we do that, in the hopes that we're going to achieve something. But we actually forget that we must be human beings. And it's that beingness, who am I, that actually delivers the results. Now, what's interesting is that behavior is really designed to adapt to the environment so that, you know, we actually do achieve the results that we desire. You know, all behavior, the presupposition in the field of neurolinguistic programming is that all behavior is motivated by positive intent. And that positive intent is based on your beliefs and your values and morals that you incorporated, that you decided were right. Whether they're right or wrong is irrelevant, but they were right for you. And so while some behavior might be unhealthy or bad for you, it's still ultimately designed with positive intention in mind. So saying it differently, we have to recognize, does our behavior serve us? Is this beingness actually serving us in the moment? Like my itchy nose isn't serving me right now to deliver what it is that I want to deliver you. But unfortunately, I don't have much control over my itchy nose. The truth is that we have to understand, is our behavior serving us in this moment? And that's where we actually have to have an honest reflection of what's happening in this moment. Is having that awareness and the ownership and the acknowledgement of, okay, well, this behavior is working or it's not. And without being what I call defendant, you know, it's easy for us to defend our behavior. And I notice this all the time, you know, when I coach my clients, you know, even my partners, even my kids, you know, I reveal to them, you know, something that I'm observing, and then immediately they become defensive. It's like, whoa, hold on a second, right? I'm just sharing with you some observational information. It's not intended to demean you. It's not intended to criticize you. I'm all in this planet to help people achieve that best version of themselves as quickly as they can. And so for me, what I'm passionate about is creating change, enhancing life, and developing peaceful awareness. You know, that's the fabric of everything that I do every single day, every single moment. And so in that is being aware of what our behavior is doing for us. And so whether it's success or failure, it's really all about who are we being to achieve all of that. And so some of the work that I was doing, you know, prior to that, my New Year's, was understanding, okay, who am I being? And it's also context related. You know, who am I being in a certain moment? Because I have high standards. I have great ambitions. And people with great ambitions, they have great habits. And a habit of becoming aware, maintaining awareness of what's going on is a really important habit. And so habitually what I do is I'm evaluating my behavior and looking to understand what beliefs and values are driving that specific behavior. And then of course, then seeing what I then can do to modify that behavior. What must I do differently? You know, I've been challenged, you know, with ignoring my weight for a long time and recognizing, well, hang on a second. Number one, I don't like the way that I look. And that's okay. You know, that's not beating myself up. It's just it's observing that, look, my weight is not ideal. And so for a long time, I just simply ignored that. And then understanding what was it that made me decide how to know it was time to ignore my health. And then I began to understand, well, maybe I was in this place of anxiety, anxiety of scarcity, that I needed to achieve certain things. I needed to work hard. I needed to do this so that I wouldn't have scarcity. And so what I did is I flipped the switch. I said, look, I'm seeking abundance, experiencing abundance in the moment. So I'm being a person of abundance now in all that is presented to me now. And so it's important that we understand in all the different elements in our lives, you know, whether it's in relationships with our partner, with our kids, whether it's our relationship with the work that we're doing, whether you're an entrepreneur or a business person or simply an employee, right? What fills us in life? I mean, it's three key elements that unfortunately many businesses don't appreciate, but it's independence. So employees, if anyone, to self-actualize themselves, to feel great about themselves, is having a certain amount of independence. Then mastery, being able to master, or the ability to master, you know, their craft. And then finally, the purpose behind what it is that they're doing. And unfortunately, so many businesses try to micromanage their employees so that they don't have the independence. They don't have the ability to tap into their own unique potential to master their craft in the best way that they can, or they're part of a purpose. And so that's all wrapped around who are you being in this very, very moment. Look, there's no such thing as a perfect being. You know, we have moments of enlightenment. And it's in those moments of enlightenment enlightenment that we make our shifts, that we make our pivots, that we realize that whatever it is that we're doing is either working or not. And that's when we can make the shifts. You see, our shifts in life don't change until our identity changes. Again, who are we being right now? And so when we look at our outcomes, when we examine our outcomes for the week, for the month, for the quarter, for the year, or for our lives, it's not just about identifying those outcomes, but who is it that you actually need to be to achieve that? And if there are certain beingness that you lack, then identify ways that either you can become more of that, or how is it that you get to leverage out that beingness onto someone else so that they can help you get the results that you want? The truth is that we all have our natural flow. There's parts within us that naturally do one thing or another thing. You know, whether it's a big picture thinker, you know, that's ungrounded, or the very grounded, solid, detailed thinker. You know, so we're not all of it all the time. And so recognizing once again, who are you being? Who can you be? You know, who do you need to be and who do you not need to be? And where else do other people fit in to help you get to where you want? Because without that element of beingness, then you're not going to get those outcomes, or it's not likely that you're going to get your outcomes that you want. Now, clearly, once we've established the outcomes, and then once we establish who do we need to be, now we've got to come up with our plan. We've got to come up with a map, if you will. And then we have to schedule it as well. And so that's next. A plan is essential simply because it delivers the details of what it is that we are going to do and who do we need to be to specifically get the outcomes that we want. You know, as I've mentioned in the past, what happens is that most businesses will fail if they don't have a plan. And the statistics are clear. Again, it is 80% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. The remaining 50% of, or let me rephrase it, the remaining 80% of the 50%, you know, fail in the next 10 years. And so what's relevant for us is to appreciate, you know, as we've been talking about outcomes, number one, what's wildly important. And finally, you know, who do we need to be? Now let's come up with a plan. So how do we create that plan? Well, it's really quite simple. Is you start at the end. You know, most people start getting involved with the how, like, okay, what do I do next? Well, actually, you really do have to start with the end in mind. And whatever numerical value that you can give is always going to be helpful. You know, let's say, for example, let's take an easy one. You know, you're optimizing your health with an optimum weight. So then you decide, okay, what is that weight? And let's be honest. I mean, let's get the weight that really serves us, you know, what science is showing us. So that, what is that BMI that you have? And technically, it's in that range of, I think it's 20 to 25. And anything higher is not going to be healthy. And accepting that, and I'm just going to spin on that for a moment, you know, anything above 25 is really going to be unhealthy. It's going to be a major tax on your body physiology. And so, you know, causing more morbidity and mortality in people's lives because of it, diabetes being one of them. So as we look at the outcome, so we got the BMI between 20 and 25 by the end of the year. And so we then have to look at, okay, you know, what needs to happen in the four quarters to get that specific BMI. And so the easy way to do it is to chunk it into 3 months or quarters of the year. So what needs to happen in the last quarter, for example, to get to that BMI? Then you go to the third quarter, and you go to the second quarter, and then you go to the first quarter, kind of deciding, okay, how do I close that gap? And there's a lot of different strategies that you can apply depending on, you know, what your starting point is. And that's another part that we need to be clear on, is what is our starting point? Where is that, you know, the start line of what it is that we want to achieve, so that we understand what that gap is? You know, without knowing that gap again, right, then it's never going to be clear as to what needs to happen. Because throughout the process, throughout a plan, one of the big deals with the plan, or map, if you like to, if you prefer that term, is being able to monitor your progress. And here again, most people fail. You know, it's the, you know, the funny thing about New Year's resolutions. I mean, actually should be New Year revelations. Like, okay, great. I'm revealing to myself what it is that I haven't been doing. So let me start planning on how I can actually achieve that. You know, it's not about resolving the past. It's really about, you know, revealing to yourself, having that awareness. Okay, I must do this. This is how I'm going to do it. Having a plan, having a map, and mapping it out throughout. And so as you look at each of the different quarters, then you begin to look at, okay, what are the other outcomes with each of those quarters? And to achieve those specific outcomes, what are then the activities that need to happen to achieve those outcomes? And let's say, for example, let's take that weight again. Well, we know that, you know, 80% of our dietary habits or nutritional habits determines, you know, 80% of our weight. The rest is our activity. And so what are the things that you can do? Well, you can start calorie counting, you know, get an app if you don't have one, right? And then it's a matter of the activities that would include, you know, daily monitoring the number of calories. So deciding how many calories you should have on a daily basis, and then monitoring that effectively. And then, you know, what sort of, you know, physical activities are you going to implement in your life? And then how much weight, you know, are you going to lose in the first quarter, the second quarter, third quarter, and the fourth quarter? And so by having this structured approach, having this map for the year, then basically you're outlining what needs to happen. Now, the cool part is as you are monitoring yourself, whether it's weight or something else, you know, at the end of each week, at the end of a month, and certainly at the end of the quarter, at the minimum, you check in with yourself. You know, where am I at? Are these activities that I've implemented for this first quarter giving me the results that I desire? And if they're not, then you've got the next quarter to make all the shifts. Now, for some things, you probably don't want to wait to the end of the quarter. I mean, perhaps you don't even want to wait to the end of the month. Sometimes it's just the end of the week, or sometimes it's just end of the day. Constantly checking in with yourself. Where am I in this map? It's no different than, you know, if you have to travel halfway across the country, let's say from Atlanta to Denver, right? And, you know, you got a car and you have to be there by a certain time because there's this most important meeting that you have to attend that's going to affect the rest of your life. Well, of course, you're going to map it out. You're going to decide, okay, you know what, how much time is it going to take me to get there? You're going to understand what the different milestones are for you to get to where you want to go. And then finally, as you're going, then inadvertently as life happens, you know, things happen. They're roadblocks, right? The things that stop you, whether it's weather or whether it's sort of like road work or whatever that is, or you run out of gas. I mean, that's a bad one because you haven't been paying attention, right? And that happens too, right? And so we have to make a shift. It's no different getting stuck in a traffic jam in a 6-lane freeway, and you have to get to a certain time at a certain place at a certain time. Then what do? You change lanes. So you take a different approach, you shift, you pivot, whatever that is for you. But unless you have that map, unless you're monitoring what you're doing, you know, assessing the progress, And then realizing, ah, you know what? I'm now ahead of schedule. That's great. Let me keep this momentum up. You know, some people might say, well, let me take, you know, my foot off the pedal. And I say, no, absolutely not. I mean, if you've got great momentum, you keep that momentum up. As long as it doesn't drain you, as long as it doesn't really take away too much of your energy, as long as it keeps feeding you energy, that's great. So it's important then to monitor that, because once you get your outcome and you're ahead of schedule, then great. You know, that's the time to take a rest or just simply reevaluate and get a new outcome that you want to do. And so understanding that we have to monitor, we have to look at our lead and lag indicators, we have to measure our activities in actual numbers and being honest with ourselves. And noticing, is it getting the results that we want? And what are the resources that we need to get these things done? You know, what are the things that we need to have in our life? And actually, what are the things we need to remove in our life? You know, who needs to be in our life? Who does not need to be in our life? You know, distractions is being one of them. If you have a widely important goal, a widely important outcome, that you know is absolutely essential to have, then we have to commit to being a certain person and not being another kind of person. I mean, take procrastination, for example. Well, that in of itself is a term that I personally don't like to use, because I don't procrastinate. I actually make a pause, and I pause for a reason, because I don't know what to do next. And then for me, I'm being this person of uncertainty in the moment, and now I need to become certain. And so that's how we address these things. You know, who do you need to be? What needs to happen? What resourcefulness do you need to have? What do you need to learn? You know, who do you need to get the support from? You know, coaching being one of them. I mean, if you don't have a coach and you got big ideas, I'm telling you, it's going to be a challenge. Make sure you do get a coach. I coach a lot of my clients. I'm actually, you know, totally maxed out on my ability to take on new clients. But here's the thing. There's so many great coaches out there. It's a resource that you must have. And some of my clients that I work with, you know, some of the business dealings that I have, I see how they're so fragmented in their thinking, and they have absolutely no structure. And I let them know, I says, look, you need the business partner that's going to help you put this structure together, put this map together. So, no, I got all these ideas. I can do this. I can do that. You know, it's great. You know, there's a need for this. Well, great. But guess what? If you don't have a plan, you don't have a map to get you there, you're just not going to get there. And guess what? The worst part is somebody else will. And so it's important for us all to have this map, take the time. And the reason I find that a lot of people don't do that is because they're lacking the reference points. They're lacking the information that they need so that they can actually map it out. It's no different than going from, like I said, Atlanta to Denver. You know, you need to have a map that tells you where all the routes are, you know, where all the roadblocks are, what are the things that you need to do to get there. So I hope this helps. You know, we talked about outcomes, how essential they are. You know, a place to somewhere is, and a place to nowhere. No, what is it? A place to somewhere is called to place, going somewhere, let's say, going somewhere is going to a place of nowhere. Great. So you're not going to go anywhere if you don't know where to go. You've got to have that target and a compelling reason to have that target, a big why, one that fulfills you, that satisfies you. It's your legacy, whatever that is for you. And then, of course, you know, who do you need to be? Who do I need to be to make all of this happen? And then having that map. You've got to have that map. You've got to have the process by which you can achieve these outcomes. Without that, it's not going to happen. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. And then the final part, and so all of this is still a dream. You know, somebody, you know, reminded me of this very eloquently. You know, if it's still all in your head, you know, it's still a dream. If it's on paper, it's closer to reality, but reality is getting it on a schedule. And that is next. Is the final aspect of what it is that we must be doing to acquire those outcomes, you know, with the commitment and the certainty that yes, these outcomes are important. Yes, I will achieve these outcomes. Now comes the nitty-gritty of getting it on your schedule. And I love the concept of, you know, everything happens in our head first before we actually begin to manifest it. But it only gets manifested, you know, if you have a clear target, as we've been talking about, you have a clear reason, a compelling reason to make it happen. Who do you need to be? Then to have that map, the map that outlines, you know, all the steps, the processes and activities, you know, and the ability to monitor things to get to where you want to go. And then finally getting it on the schedule, because all of it still remains a great idea until it's actually on the schedule. So how do we do it? Well, look at it this way. You have 365 days of the year. So you can simplify it by chunking it into, you know, quarters, because when we are so focused on the big thing, the big outcome, we kind of get lost in, well, how is this actually going to happen? And so we chunk it into smaller bits, you know, and you know, the journey of 1,000 miles starts off with one step. And so it's that one step, that one day of the 1 week, of the 1 month, of the 1 quarter that needs to be scheduled. And so every single week, you essentially have 168 hours. So this is the ultimate equalizer for everyone. I mean, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, you know, Elon Musk, they all have the same number of hours per week. I mean, it's the ultimate equalizer. So the key is that how do we utilize that entire week? And so there's two elements on this, is really understanding, you know, the different sort of blocks that you need to schedule for yourself to ensure that you're going to be able to fully and effectively, you know, get those outcomes that you want through the activities that you've designed and then scheduled. So let's take, you know, for me, what's a non-negotiable, and that's 8 hours of sleep. For me, sleep is absolutely essential. It helps me rejuvenate, helps me regenerate. You know, it really is an integral part of our ultimate potential because we're maintaining our health and wellness. Without that, you know, there's going to be tons of problems, and you want to make sure that you avoid that limitation in life, which is easily avoidable, number one. So that means you've got 16 hours left. Well, let's decide for yourself, you know, how many of those hours, effective hours, are you going to allocate to the activities that you want to have to make sure that you get the outcomes that you desire? So some of those activities need to be designed for your own health and well-being. And those are an absolute must. These, again, are also non-negotiable. These have to be non-negotiable. It's working out, it's movement, it's the proper nutrition, it's a proper mind balance. In my training programs, I talk about, you know, the four quadrants. It's sleep, it's nutrition, it's movement, and then inner balance. You've got to make sure that you take care of all these four quadrants consistently. So you block a certain amount of time with that. Now what's left over? Well, some of the cushion time, the free time that, you know, has to be scheduled throughout the day so that you can eat and you can travel and you can do all those things. So you can see now that you're removing the effective amount, the effective hours per day to be able to achieve your outcomes. So let's say you're that 8 hour kind of guy. Now, I'm actually a lot more, sometimes I'm up to 12 hours. So in that 8 hours, how do you then, you know, assign your activities? And again, depending on what it is that you do, understanding that, you know, you've got to allocate them effectively. And so the part that where I think a lot of people get, you know, stuck is that they don't have a compelling connection with any of these activities. So let's say, for example, you know, working out. So people put as a block, I'm going to work out. And then they end up not doing it because working out isn't exciting, isn't fun. You know, there's no real thing associated with it that gets us really excited about it. However, You know, if I'm working towards my abundant vitality and health and energy, and if I have that as a name of my block, then I'm going to get excited about, you know, wanting to go for a bike ride or wanting to go for a swim or whatever that is understanding that that abundance for me of energy and vitality is what I'm focusing on when I'm actually doing my workout. So the challenge then with the work aspect of it is understanding, you know, what is your ability to focus and be effective at the same time. And again, part of this has to do with what types of resources do you need to get access to, you know, who needs to be part of this, you know, what are your kind of meetings, all these things. So it gets kind of complicated at some point. So how am I going to figure all this out? Well, it's again about simplifying things. How do we simplify that process? Well, I like to look at it from the aspect of let me be creative or reactive. And I got this from Brian Johnson, a great modern philosopher with Optimize. You want to learn some more stuff, then absolutely, you know, check him out. I think it's optimize.com that you can go to. And he does a wonderful job summarizing, you know, all these great authors about, you know, how to be the best version of ourselves. So the key here then is to recognize, okay, you know, what are the different elements that need to happen in that creative mode? So this is what fuels us. This is what energizes us. This is what gets us excited. This is what gets us up in the morning, because it's that creative mode, that creative block that is absolutely realizing, you know, the outcomes that we want in life. You know, whatever that is, you know, for me, for example, I put together this amazing training program, you know, for doctors in regenerative medicine. And so my creative time was always dedicated in the morning where I'm not going to be interrupted. I'm not going to have to respond to the whirlwind of life so that I can absolutely focus on getting the creative juices of my mind onto paper and then into my program. And so that's where you sort of keep it simple. The creative aspect is in the morning for me. First thing that I get up after I do some workouts, go for a bike ride or something like that. And then I outline, you know, 3 to 5 hours, you know, in that creative mode. But I split them up. I'm splitting them up in units of 60 to 90 minutes because science shows, you know, that we really can't, you know, effectively focus at a highest level for more than about 90 minutes before we need to take a break. We take a break for about 15 minutes. You need to stretch. You need to move around. Again, that's maintaining the abundance of energy and vitality. You know, keep on moving. I mean, we've got science shows. We need the 10,000 steps, you know, per day. So if you're not going to be taking care of your body, you're not going to be able to function effectively, at least long term. So you split up in 60 to 90 minutes. It's, you know, concentration levels can be maximum. And that the first part then, of course, is, you know, the creative aspect. Then later on, when the world starts catching up with you, then you can respond and react to whatever else is going on. But the good thing is that you feel already accomplished and measure, you know, your actual momentum in this process by being effective in that first part of the day, which is that creative day. Because again, your success in what it is that you want to achieve and getting that momentum is going to lead to more success and the more energized in and moving forward. If we initially get caught up in all the distractions, all the reactions, you know, to everybody else in the world, you know, we're responding to their needs versus our own, then we're going to lose the drive and the energy and the vitality to really accomplish what's important for us. So that's the afternoon. So whether it's the emails, whether it's responding to different people as far as, you know, what their needs are, having meetings, all that kind of stuff, you know, that then gets allocated in the afternoon. Now, what's important, though, is that it's not enough just to plan it once a week. Consistency is key. And so if you can consistently schedule your block times throughout the week and understand that just because somebody has an emergency doesn't necessarily have to be your emergency in their time. Make it your time. So their emergency at 9 a.m., you know, you can defer that, you know, more than likely, probably 80, 90% of the time to maybe in the afternoon when it's more convenient for you. You know, like the phrase, you know, emergency on no lack of organization on your part does not mean emergency on my part. And so, again, it's setting those boundaries for you so that you can be effective throughout that day. I mean, it's your design, what you're going to do with 168 hours. As I mentioned before, you know, if you don't have a plan for your life, life will have a plan for you. So you've got the ability to create the life the way that you want to, and essentially train the rest of the world in how to interact with you. You know, that's entirely up to you. It's by your design. And if it's not working for you, if you're not making those boundaries like you need to make them for yourself, then you have to ask yourself that question, like we talked earlier, as to what is it that you really want? You know, how am I showing up? You know, who am I being right now? Am I being that needy person that needs to stay connected with all these people throughout the day so that I can feel I'm worthy? Because that is very elusive. That kind of worthiness is elusive. What is really worthy is you actualizing yourself throughout the day, doing the things that matter most to you so that you become more, you become your becoming your best version of yourself in the best service to the world. And I think that's one of the major purposes that we have in our life is to, you know, find divine happiness, to experience divine happiness. And as we are completing the mission, whatever that is for you, in service to the rest of the world. So here, this is in a nutshell, you know, how to schedule your life. And in scheduling it, you then evaluate and monitor how effective you are with that scheduling. And one of my challenges has always been is that I don't take enough accounting for, you know, any real kind of emergencies or things that just simply get in the way or all the hiccups. I can't tell you how many times I have hiccups with technology. And then before I know it, you know, half a day is gone just to try to fix the technology. Then I have to have a way to catch up. And so the key here is staying on track with what it is that you know is important, making sure you take care of the number one first. When things don't happen the way you want to happen, find a way to catch up. And then if anything needs to happen, then obviously you're going to move the schedule, you know, further backwards to get the things done. But staying consistent with your blocks is key. You know, commit to that. And at the end of the week, you know, starting a new week or starting a new month or starting a new quarter, you know, evaluating how effective are you at the scheduling and do you need to actually make some shifts? So again, I hope this helps. You know, again, it's understanding or being aware of what we don't know that we don't know that makes the difference is modeling success. And these are all the things that I'm wanting to bring to you. And there's my alarm to end this podcast with you. And let me see how I can turn this off. And again, you know, the truth is, it's just going with the flow of life. And it's always about how do we respond to the flow of life and not making it, you know, take us off track of where we need to go. So once again, I'm Dr. Bart Rademacher, and this is Prescription for Your Transformation, real people, real conversations, real success, helping you with getting the outcomes that you desire. And it always starts off, you know, whether it's the beginning of the year, it's the beginning of the week, the beginning of the month, beginning of the quarter, whatever that is for you, beginning of the decade, whatever that is for you, it starts off knowing your outcomes, knowing your target, knowing the big reason. What's the compelling reason? Who do you get to be? What do you get to have? What do you get to experience? What's in your life? What's not in your life? What gets you, you know, what's it called? The ikigai. What gets you up in the morning, right? This is a Japanese term, ikigai. This is why these centenarians in certain parts of Japan are there, because they have a compelling reason to get up in the morning. And then having that map. And having the ability to go with the flow, responding to the environment, and keeping up the momentum. You have to have a map. You know what resources you need. You know what leverage you need to use. And then finally, getting on your schedule. Good luck with all this. God bless. and I'll be back.
Thanks for listening to Dr. Rademacher's Prescription for Transformation. Join Dr. Bart Rademacher live right here on StarWorldwideNetworks.com or on demand 24/7.